from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'I'll tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. And the king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. And so the wedding hall was filled with guests." Here ends our scripture reading for this morning. Let's see if you recognize these words. Halloween. Thanksgiving. Christmas. Well, if you have forgotten about them, you better get them back into your vocabulary. Because it is that time of the year again. Hard to believe, but true. It seems as if the year is going by just too quickly. So the question is, are you ready for the festivities, for the parties, for the loaded tables? And you better also watch the mail and your email, because soon now the invitations will start pouring in, and some would come from people that you know and love and care for and would just be delighted to be with them. And while others, well, how shall we put it? In some cases, you simply know that you would rather not go. So you are already wondering, how am I going to get out of this one this year without hurting anybody's feelings? Obviously, you can't directly say that you don't want to come. The hosts will surely be offended, and the party might just be spoiled for others. And, well, there's also other reasons. Some dread those special seasons when one party follows another, especially the weeks before Christmas, when you are really expected and often have no option but to move from one loaded table to another. Well, I have some advice for you. Better forget about your diet. Bury your negative feelings about so-and-so. Or come up with a real, good, honest excuse why you cannot attend. Well, speaking of excuses, how about this one? The husband said to his wife, "Now how can you expect me to remember your birthday? You never look any older." Or the prisoner who tried to explain to the judge, he said, "Your Honor, it's my wife's fault. You know, she kept whining that she wanted a mink stole for her birthday. And I'm sure he didn't get away with that excuse. But actually, we do have excuses for just about everything under the sun. And the scripture that we just read tells us that people used excuses not to go to parties or banquets long, long before you and I were ever born. Actually, going back to the beginning of time, and the parable that we read this morning is a story that Jesus once told to illustrate what the kingdom of God is all about. Now, Jesus used examples to illustrate his teaching taken from his times 2,000 years ago. So yes, we do understand the context, and maybe that's the reason why there is spoken also only of the men, really. It was a king and it was a male king. The one getting married was the son, not the daughter. And then it was okay in those days to have slaves. And it is spoken of as if it is just natural that it happens. So let's be honest, the context that we heard this morning might have applied to 2,000 years ago. But we have some honest difficulty with that. So we'll have to wrestle to understand God's true message coming to us through the context of 2,000 years ago. You know, that made me wonder, how would it sound if we try to update the same parable to fit into our times here in America? Well, maybe one would say a certain father's daughter was getting married, maybe. And some people, when they read this parable to expose our excuses or to reveal our prejudices, and then they understand the parable had really to do with something else. So let's try it for 2007. A wealthy couple planned an extravagant reception for their child's impending marriage. No expense was spared. An elegant dining room at the town's most elite hotel was engaged. We shall say, just for the sake of argument, that fresh lobster was flown in. But of course, we live here on the coast, so that one won't work. And the finest meats were waiting and ready to be cooked. And as could be expected, nothing was left out of the menu. It was absolutely going to be the event of the year. The finest linens were laid out, and the china, and oh, the silver. An orchestra was hired, and valet service was arranged. And the invitations went out in good time. Where to? Well, don't ask questions like that. Of course, it went to the elite of the community, because you didn't want to see everyone of those some certain people there, you know. So the invitations was carefully selected. Shall we invite this? Yeah, that one, that, yeah, maybe. So the list was made up by choice of the hosts. But one thing is for sure, their intentions were pure. They wanted to bring joy to their children. And so the invitation said, "You are invited to our child's wedding. Please just let us know that you are coming." And this is where things went terribly wrong. To the surprise and the dismay of the parents, not acceptance of invitations came in, but excuses came pouring in from all sides. Excuses, excuses, excuses. In short, it was clear that the invited guests weren't coming. Now, this time we can say especially the father was disappointed. He was offended and unhappy. But it says something in his favor that he was unhappy because his wife was sobbing. She was crying her heart out. And us men are still like that. We don't like our women to cry. And if they do, they get everything they want from us. So, he would get them back. That's what he was thinking in his rage. Oh yeah? Who do they think they are? And then he decided, no more, no more. Never again an invitation to any of these individuals ever again. No feast. No feast? Oh no, he thought, that couldn't be. Everything was paid in advance. Everything was ready. What a waste it would be. And then he got a little smile on his face. He got this great idea. I'll teach them a lesson. I'll show them. I don't need them. This was still going to be the greatest banquet ever. Only difference is, this time, it will be without the elite that consider themselves too important to come to my feast. So he sent some of his employees and he told them, go down, go everywhere, go even across the rails, go to the worst section in town, and when you come across people, say to them, there's going to be a banquet, a great banquet, and you are invited. You can come. Who, me, sir? No, no, I've never been to anything like that. You come. The master wants you there. Oh, no, I couldn't think of it. I don't have proper clothes for such a grand occasion. No matter. No matter. Nobody will be checking out whether you wear a Dior or not. And the master said to his messengers, don't leave out the poor people. Neither leave out the rich people. Go to all the respectable people, but don't leave out the winos, the beggars. And well, I know there's lots of sick people. Please don't leave them out. If there's a way to get them here, bring them. Let them come. We'll make room for them. We'll have helpers for them. We will make special food that they can digest. So the master said, whoever you come across, I don't care. I want every chair filled for my banquet. And as the Bible says, his employees did exactly what the master wanted. And can you imagine that feast? Can you see them wobbling in on old crutches? Can you see many of the unshaven faces? Can you see the stares of amazement? Am I really welcome here? Can't believe my eyes. Can't believe my ears. I've never been invited to any feast before. I was always considered an outcast of this community. Because obviously those who were not socially acceptable, those who were always left off the invitation lists, those who were alone somewhere out there in the dark, unwanted, uncelebrated, unappreciated. Now, how do you translate this 2,000 years later into 2007? Maybe in our times we would say, and be patient with me, those who were of different color, maybe, or class, or sexual orientation, or religious convictions, or, sad to say, even of a different political conviction. All those who were considered to live at the wrong side of the rails and who dared to think differently than we do. Folks, never take the scripture out of scripture. This is one of the cornerstones of Christian teachings for all ages. No matter what examples you use, it's a cornerstone of our Christian faith. And by missing that, misinterpreting that, you may just discover that the empty seat that you had counted on somehow got filled by someone else. Those in the story who rejected God's invitation were once considered to be the chosen ones, the privileged ones. They carried the right passports. They were the naturals to be at this feast. Now, an analysis of the parable says that Jesus had difficulty with the religious upper class represented in these groups. We know that. He was a bit short-tempered when it came to Pharisees and Sadducees. Somehow I get the impression that things were so bad that he simply couldn't stand them. And at one time he lost his temper and he cried out, "You snakes!" Whoa. That's something to say. He did. And when he went to church and they were messing around and making money for themselves and having all sorts of things to do, but the sanctity of the sanctuary was no more. The master was not welcome. Even the master not. That was the time when he got hold of a whip and where he just stormed in head first and he bumped over the tables and he drove them out. In the presence of God, you should be different, not like this. They assumed that God's kingdom and justice and righteousness were reserved for them. So they looked down and created separate classes for those who didn't think and believed as they did. And in those days, well, some of the men were not circumcised. Some of them were not frequenters of the temple. Whatever made them different, for them there was always a huge unwelcome sign. Like in our times, then was also a time of turmoil. Jesus spoke about God and God's kingdom and God's love and God's forgiveness for many. Whosoever, no exception, God's forgiveness, even for those who did not fit into their society, who didn't meet their prejudices, or agreed with their misguided morals. He looked right through them and their hypocrisy and their selfish pride and their inflated opinion of themselves. And he knew that some of those who were following him were really two-faced and insincere. He knew then that he was followed by a Peter who would soon deny him. He knew that in his little group there was a Judas who would disown him. But yet he moved on. Yet he fulfilled his Calvary mission. You may ask, now why was this ancient wedding feast so special in the eyes of Jesus? Why was it such a deadly serious matter? Why was it so important to make it to the table? My friends, because Jesus wasn't talking about a banquet. Jesus was proclaiming God's kingdom. And the core of his proclamation was that there was room for everyone. People had to understand, you have no say over the love and the blessings of God. You dare not choose for your God whom should be blessed and who not, who should be allowed and who not, because you would crossing the purposes of God Almighty by doing so. And through the ages, the process would go on. The true church of Jesus Christ would not be defined by who's sitting in the pews or who are between four specific walls. It would be defined by the presence of people who come through these doors with broken hearts, who never had acceptance anywhere in the world, people who are hurting, people who didn't wake up this morning with someone to talk to be nice with, people who are lonely, those rejected long ago by their hypocritical societies. Present at God's feast are people who are going under in this battle of life and vainly seek for peace and truth and justice. And the tables at this feast are spread with all the blessings of God. Forgiveness, deliverance from lives wasted in the shallow presence of things that could never really satisfy, like God's favor and God's love for all. Peace of conscience and the promises of the gospel and the comforts of the Spirit. It is a feast designed for love and reconciliation. You know, if you could bring yourself there and your enemy would decide the same, your hated enemy, you may just discover and embrace one another at the table of God. And the war trumpets will sound no more. And liberated people would see the host of the table, a host that cannot be offended by my prejudice and my hate and by my nastiness to people around me. God's kingdom is planned for rejoicing, fullness and fellowship. Actually, Jesus was challenging the apartheid of his times and declared that God's invitation was not only for a select few. It was for all who would heed the invitation and join the feast. It was directed to all who would come, righteous and unrighteous alike. So, and if there's anything tough about ministry, I've discovered it through my life. Sometimes the steps that lead to the pulpit gets higher and higher. And there were times in my life when I almost had no courage left to climb to the top and say, "So saith our God." And that's today's invitation. Is it time for a banquet in your life? Oh, come to the feast. You, yes, you are invited. Through Jesus, God offers a place of honor in the kingdom of God for all. And all they needed to do was to accept the invitation, to cut the excuses, and to sit at God's table of love and forgiveness. No matter who you are, or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. You've now received another invitation to God's richly loaded table. Only one question remains. Will you accept today? Long ago, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You've been invited. The message has been delivered. Is it time for a banquet in your life? Please respond this very day. Just as I am, you will receive welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief. Because your promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, your love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be yours and yours alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Amen.